Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Hello, America, and happy Wednesday, the morning after, the day after Super Tuesday. And there is extreme clarity about what the fall 2024 election race is going to look like right now. There is no doubt. President Donald Trump, the former president, 45th president of the United States, will be the Republican nominee in his quest to become the 47th president. And by the time, also, a third straight GOP nomination, pretty unprecedented in American history. He swept a victory in all but one race last night, has a commanding lead, so much so that this morning, Nikki Haley dropped out of the race, clearing the path for Donald Trump to wrap up the nomination in the next few weeks. Nikki Haley isn't endorsing him yet. We'll see what happens. She says President Trump has to earn her voters' trust. A lot of her voters are Democrats who might not actually vote Republican in the fall. That's one of the things we learned from last night's polling. But we'll see how that plays out. Donald Trump really hasn't addressed it much, and he's clearly going to make a play to invite everyone into what he says is a big tent, and that you see a sort of unifying message that he's been delivering. His message is, I've got a vision for how to fix America. All Joe Biden has is a plan to divide or create division in America. And I think that's what you're going to see a big part of the debate over the next few days. Now, we have a lot of important conversation to talk about today. First, let me get to the lineup of guests. We've got some really, 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 really good ones. I'm really proud of this. To kick things off today, a really juicy interview. I think you're going to learn a lot from it. And so I hope you appreciate all that we learned from this. Alan Dershowitz talking about the Supreme Court's role in the election, the historic ruling saying that Donald Trump can't be kicked off by states from the ballot. That's not a state right. And also what that might mean for the immunity case. And I think Alan Dershowitz probably will come down on the side that maybe President Trump's argument that he has full immunity, probably not going to fly, but some form of more limited immunity may actually be in the wake. And I think Alan Dershowitz is going to walk us through that. He's been right on every aspect of these Supreme Court cases. In fact, if you remember, he said, I guarantee you, the Supreme Court would rule 9-0 to throw out the Colorado ballot removal. And he was right. Supreme Court came out 9-0. So he's worth listening to. He's going to have a great conversation today. I'm really excited to have that. In the second block, a troubling story for those who voted for Republicans, who thought that a House Republican leadership could reduce spending and earmarks, bring down the deficit, start reducing the debt. Congressman Ralph Norman, a member of the very important influential Rules Committee, has identified 605 pages of earmarks totaling $13 billion of free pet projects that slipped into the Mike Johnson, Chuck Schumer spending bill. Yep. Every time they do a CR, a temporary thing, they put more money in it, and it's all left projects. It's things like an artist den in New York. Why do we need an artist den? Why are we using tax dollars for it? Let the artists pay for it, or let the nonprofits pay for it. An LGBTQ rec center in one place, a study on all sorts of unusual climate and other changes. We're in a desperate fight to save money to try to keep our nation out of further debt. The interest rate on our debt is blowing away the budget. Once again, Republicans allowed 605 pages of earmarks. Crazy stuff. Ralph Norman is going to call out his Republican and Democratic colleagues. He's going to name names. He's going to identify the earmarks. He's going to tell you what your tax dollars are going to be wasted on in these earmarks in the second block. It's very powerful. And then we'll wrap up today with Bobby Charles, who will give us his thoughts on the primaries last night. Joe Biden and Donald Trump are going to have a rematch. That is certain. By the way, not only did Nikki Haley drop out today, but Dean Phillips, the main competition to Joe Biden, he dropped out. The only difference there is he actually endorsed Joe Biden. Nikki Haley hasn't endorsed Donald Trump yet. But you know who did endorse Donald Trump today? The turtle, Mitch McConnell, giving a begrudging but surprising endorsement to President Trump, the sort of thing that brings unity to the party. Both men, Trump and McConnell, have lowered the temperature recently. And I think they're doing something that they think is for the good of the country, setting aside their bygones so that they can have a united front in November. That happened a little while ago. So a lot of political news today. Bobby Charles is going to wrap it all together. He's a great guest. And you know what follows a Super Tuesday? AMAC Wednesday. So Bobby Charles will bring us all of the great wisdom from our friends at AMAC. By the way, if you want to join AMAC, match me on my five-year membership. Go to amac.us/justnews. Now, another thing you can do, because it's so important to me personally, as you know, I'm a big fan of what the Alliance Defending Freedom is doing. They're waging major cases, two of them already at the Supreme Court, more on their way there, fighting for free speech, free expression of religion, the core liberties that we enjoy in this company that are under such assault by a younger generation of leftist activists who believe that the Constitution's wrong, that democracy and constitutional republic are outdated, that socialism and European style governance is what America should convert to. Well, the courts have been one of the last lines of defenses, and Alliance Defending Freedom have brought some of the most meaningful cases, including two right now pending before the Supreme Court, one of them suing the FDA over the health of women and girls, the other trying to uphold the state of Idaho's right to outlaw abortion in certain circumstances. Both of those are headed to the nine justices, and ADF is right there. If you want to thank them for that, if you want to support them, you want to make sure that they're successful, not only in these two cases, but in the ones to come, all you got to do is go to joinadf.org/John. joinadf.org/John. You can make a donation. Any size will help. We're trying to raise $5,000 by the end of this month. You can make a big difference. Go kick in today. joinadf.org/John. Two very important groups, AMAC and ADF. They're making a difference in the world, and they support us here at Just the News, so you should support them if you can. All right, we're going to take that quick commercial break. One of the greatest legal minds this country has ever produced, certainly in modern years, the great, the one and only Alan Dershowitz, Harvard Law Professor Emeritus, the author of the book Get Trump. He's going to be here in just a few seconds right after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Bite clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
He's the author of the book, Get Trump. Go get that book, because everything you're seeing playing out right now, he has in that book. He's the professor emeritus at Harvard's Law School. He is our good friend, Alan Dershowitz. Alan, great to have you back on the show.
Well, thanks. It was a good day for the Constitution, a good day for me because I got it right, and a very bad day for my colleagues at Harvard Law School and for some of the judges and talking heads at MSNBC and at CNN who were absolutely sure the Supreme Court would do their bidding, because they've gotten used to thinking of the Supreme Court as their institution. And the Constitution is for me, but not for thee. It's designed only to serve the ideology of Professor Lawrence Tribe and his and Congressman David Raskin, who also thought that the Supreme Court would follow his lead. But they haven't. It's like Congress didn't follow his lead. The Senate didn't follow his lead in the impeachment. So if you want to know what's going on, listen to John Solomon. Don't listen to CNN. And don't listen to MSNBC. They're just going to mislead you. And if you want to make a lot of money in Las Vegas, listen to CNN, MSNBC, whatever they say. You will be well.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary. What a day. A bad day for all those prognosticators.
Yeah, sir, I feel like you must carry.
Keith Olbermann got it. You have to always listen to him. Dissolve the Supreme Court. Yeah, like this decision. So dissolve. You know, it reminds me of what the Ku Klux Klan was saying after Brown versus Board of Education.
That's right.
Supreme Court. That's the answer. God, some people.
Yeah.
I know.
It's terrible.
Sir, I think you must carry a hammer everywhere because you nail it every single time when it comes to this. But, sir, for those in our audience who aren't in the law profession and don't know the value of what it means to have actually a unanimous decision, because to have a 9-0 decision, the value of that over an 8-1 or a 7-2 is more than just the value commensurate with one or two justices, because there is no dissent registered. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, and I think that's all John Roberts's credit. He is a great Chief Justice. He has tried desperately to bring the court together and to improve the standing of the Supreme Court in the minds and hearts of Americans. And I suspect he worked very hard to turn those three justices into concurrences rather than possibly dissents. And so you do have a unanimous decision, as Justice Barrett said in her concurrence. Please, the message to the American people is we're all united about this. We may have some differences in legalisms. And by the way, I think the majority was absolutely right. And the three concurrences, some of whom are my friends and former colleague, in one case, my former student, Elena Kagan, respectfully, I think they were wrong. I think the Supreme Court should have done exactly what it did. It should have enforced Section 5 of the 14th Amendment, which says Congress and only Congress gets to make rules for this very dramatic result. If you want to disqualify the leading candidate from running for president, you better have burdens of proof, who initiates it, what the criteria are. You can't just make it up as you go along. So the majority was right.
Yeah, that's a very important point. So there was a very careful look at the actual words our founders used in the Constitution, which I think comes through in that ruling very carefully. What does that mean for the next big ruling that could also affect our election? President Trump's claim that he has immunity for January 6th. How do you think the court will come down based on the way they read the Constitution in this case?
Well, they will not rule completely in Trump's favor. They will not rule that his broad perception of immunity, you can order the SEALs to kill your opponent and you'll be immune unless you're impeached. They're not going to rule in favor of that. The question is, will they rule completely on the other side, or will they say, look, there is a narrow amount of immunity. If, for example, take an example, say in 1954, during the desegregation case, President Eisenhower sent the troops down to desegregate the schools. And let's assume somebody was killed in the process. And then the new president comes in. Could he really order the indictment of the old president for having done his job and somebody was killed? No, there has to be some immunity, and it has to not end at the time of the presidency. it has to continue. So I'm hoping the Supreme Court will write a narrow decision granting some immunity, but not nearly as much as Trump asked for. I can't predict how the case will come out, but I do hope it would come out in that nuanced way rather than giving a victory, a total victory to either side.
Gotcha.
Sir, I want to switch gears. Berkeley, California, throughout the 60s and 70s, was a hub of free speech, not just in California and in the university system, but for the entire country. The landscape there has certainly changed. This devastating situation that arose recently where Jewish students were spit upon, they were choked. I mean, obviously, in fear for their lives because of this Palestinian mob. It's almost unrecognizable. Berkeley is unrecognizable from what it used to be. Do you see any sunny side to this situation or any light at the end of the tunnel?
There's some real virtues in being very young like you are, but some vices as well. And let me explain why. I was actually there during the years of the free speech movement at Berkeley. It was never a free speech movement. It was always free speech for me, but not for thee. It was a leftist pro free speech movement for people who opposed the Vietnam War. If a conservative tried to speak, they would never have allowed him to speak back then. And now it's coming full circle. Now it's only free speech for Palestinians, for Hamas, for haters of Israel, for anti-Semites, for others. There's no free speech for people who are pro-American, pro-Judeo-Christian society, pro you name it. It's a one-sided aspect of free speech. Berkeley has always been that way, except it was able to disguise its views because back in the day, because it was supporting free speech from the left, it seemed to be a free speech university. It never was. It's always been free speech for me, but not for thee. And now it's become just self-evident. So the only thing that's changed is whose side they're on. But the fact that they were in favor only of free speech for them has been part of the Berkeley model for many years, I believe.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Good to fun to go back and look at that. Sir, I want to ask a little bit about what's been going down in Georgia. It felt like a soap opera some days when you were watching that court ruling. But how do you think this, and what is the appropriate adjudication for what should happen to Fannie Willis, Nathan Wade, President Trump's case?
Oh, they should go on trial for perjury and for disbarment. They have disgraced the law, disgraced the office of the district attorney, but I don't think the judge will have the courage to do it. He's not going to look the elected in the eye and say, you committed perjury in front of me. He knows they did, but he's not going to do that. I suspect that he may finally say, look, the appearance of injustice requires that they be disqualified. But that's as far as he ever will go. And he may not go that far. He may say that this requires an actual conflict of interest, which I believe exists, but he may not. And therefore, he may allow them to stay. But at the very least, they should be disqualified. And if they're not, they have a really good appellate issue if there is a conviction in the case.
Wow.
Is that what does enforceability look like for that? If the judge says that they should be disqualified for them, would they fight back against that?
They might, but that would put the trial off until after the election. But they conceivably could challenge that in a higher court. I don't think they will. They wouldn't have much of a case. Look, if they had any common sense, the two of them would have personally recused themselves and say, look, we shouldn't have done this. We shouldn't have had this affair while I was picking him, giving him $700,000. So we're going to recuse ourselves. But they decided to fight back and testify. And in my view, personal opinion, my view, they testified falsely. And I think that the judge should so conclude. I mean, I've been looking at witnesses for 60 years, and I think I have a pretty good sense of when they're hiding something. And I think all three witnesses were hiding something in this case.
Yeah, it sure felt uncomfortable. We got about 30 seconds left. Your advice to law students who watched that debacle down in Georgia, what's the real lesson for our future lawyers to learn?
You have to be Caesar's wife. You have to be above reproach. If you're in the most important case of your life, you don't give in to your lust. Or if you do, fine, but then don't hire your lust partner to be the recipient of $700,000.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We got a good one. Congressman Ralph Norman, he's going to name names. He's going to call out colleagues. He's going to identify $13 billion of wasteful earmarks that go to pet projects that take your hard-earned tax dollars and put them to something that really is just a political pet project, not crucial to the government. We'll see what that's about in the next segment. Good Ralph Norman, a good friend of this show, and he's an honest broker. He'll call out a Republican or Democrat, anyone who's wasting money. He's got some good examples you want to know about right after these messages.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back. Congressional leadership announced agreements on some appropriations bills to avoid a potential government shutdown this week. But some Republicans, like Senator Rick Scott, decried over 600 pages of earmarks, such as $1 million to fund an environmental justice center in New York City, just what the American people need. To discuss these proposals and more, we are thrilled to be joined by South Carolina Congressman and member of the House Rules Committee, Ralph Norman. Congressman, thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
Honored to be with you, Amanda.
Sir, you know, I'm going to start somewhere contrary to how I feel about what I've seen in these six appropriations bills. I'm going to start on the sunny side. There are some Republicans who are shouting victory over some provisions with respect to Veterans Affairs, the EPA, the ATF. Do those outweigh some of the negatives in the bill?
Oh, absolutely not, Amanda. This is an embarrassment for the American people. You know, the pork and the pet projects, $850,000 for a bus stop equity in California, $1.8 million to expand an LGBTQ community center, whatever that is, $1 million for an EV infrastructure, $190,000 for sharp repellent study, lawyer's fees paid for illegals. This is an embarrassment. And, you know, we will continue to meet with Speaker Johnson to do two things. One, the only thing this administration has given us is a treasure of things to cut that the American people don't deserve, to have put on, to have more additional debt to the $34 trillion. And the pork and the earmarks, we're going to expose this to the hilt. But the overriding issue is the government, with this budget, with this minibus, as you call it, for the six appropriation bills, they are saying, let's fund government, but let's not stop the invasion at the border. Anything that we consider ought to have a shutdown of the invasion at the border. We've got 9 months of this insanity, and as the American people can see, in December, they had close to 300,000. And I assume over the next 9 months before the election, or really probably longer than that, before the inauguration in January, they're going to have, there's no telling how many. And this country is facing a crisis as we have never had before.
Yeah. The other crisis is, as you mentioned, the debt just keeps growing. There was a report on Just the News, Congressman, this morning that the debt is growing at a rate of $1 trillion every 3 to 4 months, which is actually faster now than it was under Nancy Pelosi. Is there any sense of urgency among your colleagues to get spending down, or are we going to finish 2024 with no spending cuts at all?
I don't see any spending cuts, John. I mean, we were let off. I mean, we've been on vacation. Well, not vacation, but been in district for a week and a half. We went last week. We were supposed to be there until Friday. We went home on some Wednesday and Thursday. It's insanity. And it's so frustrating because the country cannot fathom the spending that both Republicans and Democrats are having. And some of the small items that they say that were cuts to the FBI, were cuts in different small programs, pales in comparison to the spending that ought to be cut. And it's just not happening.
That's a good point.
Sir, there seems to be a perpetual theme with a lot of Republicans, and it is that, and especially in the House running every 2 years, emblazoned on the marquee of their campaign is fiscal responsibility. And yet, time and time again, we find that I don't know if it's finding excuses for spending the money because they want to avoid a government shutdown, if it's because they've made bargains with their friends across the aisle, and if you pay for this or you approve this, I'll put this in here. What is it that keeps the spines of so many Republicans so mushy?
Well, what's happened is crony capitalism has taken over America. By that, corporations have put people in place on both sides of the aisle to do the bidding for them. And every dollar that's spent in Washington, D.C. has got an advocate. It's up to us to say, no, the country cannot afford, particularly with the insane things that they're spending it on, we cannot afford this anymore. So what my job is in the Freedom Caucus is to highlight it and to just say, America, this is why you have to make changes. Anybody that votes on these bills, and they do it under suspension, it takes two-thirds, roughly 290 members to vote for it, but it ought to go through the Rules Committee in regular order that we worked hard for, that we fought McCarthy on, but it's just not happening. And we're going to get with Speaker Johnson and appeal to him to hopefully, let's debate it, let's put it out in front of the American people. The earmarks have got to stop. And I'm talking earmarks all over the country on both sides of the aisle. We just can't continue this, but all we can do is what we're doing, and we're going to highlight every earmark that each individual House member votes for, and watch the votes, how the votes are when it comes up this week, which I assume will be Thursday or Friday.
We're going to help you highlight every one of those earmarks because they bring no benefit to the public, but they do put another dent in our debt every day. So I want to turn to the impeachment inquiry. You have been one of the most, I think, articulate voices in really sounding what it was that was going on. And now all of the business partners of Hunter Biden and Joe Biden are acknowledging Joe Biden came in and closed. Every time he met with someone, a check followed a few days later. Two big revelations in the Jason Galanis interview released today. The first is that the Chinese invested in Hunter Biden's firm from 25 to 17, thinking Joe Biden was going to join their board at some point. And then two, shortly after the Obama-Biden Justice Department indicted Ukrainian oligarch Dmitry Firtash, Hunter Biden's on the other side of the transaction telling Firtash, pay me $5 million and maybe I could quash that indictment. That pattern, how concerning is it to you? How surprising was Jason Galanis' testimony?
Very surprising. Both these have got checkered past. I think Galanis is in jail now, and Firtash, he's been out, and they've got an order to get him back in the United States now. But this is pay to play, pure and simple. And, they've got actual checks to the tune of $300,000, $250,000 that go to businesses like Emblem that Sun had owned part of it. And I didn't realize that he was helped one of the lawyers that he was on their law firm. Yeah. Hunter Biden was. I don't think he's a lawyer. I don't know him any big cases, if he is, that he's handled. But this is just pay to play, and this is using their influence. And I applaud, both James Comer and his ones that are helping him uncover this, and you, John, you have done a great job with this. But it's got to stop, and the American people have to see it. And a lot of them just don't know this. These are names, Galanis and Firtash. I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize Burisma was a big supplier of natural gas and oil to most of the companies in Ukraine. And it's just, it smells to high heaven, and it's just not right.
It does smell to high heaven. You're right.
Yeah. And a lot of these witnesses do have checkered pasts, but crimes committed in hell don't have angels as witnesses, but that doesn't seem to matter when you're going after organized crime and things like that. Sir, I want to shift gears to the news that came out of the Supreme Court this morning. I think that a lot of us knew what decision would be handed down, considering tomorrow is Super Tuesday and Colorado is included in those votes, or in those states that vote. 9-0 sends a loud message. Even when you have those three liberal justices that say, look, you can't really do this, you know, under the insurrection clause, that is not something that the states can do. How widely is that going to reverberate with all of these other prosecutions?
I think it's going to reverberate where it should, loud and clear to the American people. Look, what's happening to Donald Trump is not fair. It's not right. They've weaponized things against him, both in New York and Georgia. And for the Supreme Court to stick together on this, and particularly 9-0 with, again, as you mentioned, Amanda, the liberals on the court. But this is federalism at its worst that the Colorado group tried to do to kick Trump off the ballot. And they're coming for other, you know, other candidates. This is just a start with Trump. If they had gotten their way on this, they would try to weaponize who runs for office, who gets money from their group that that they can control. And I'm just happy the Supreme Court did the right thing, and the timing of it was so important, because tomorrow's Super Tuesday, a lot of delegates, I think the 866 up for grabs, and I'm glad they took this off the table, and hopefully this won't come back up again where they try to kick not just Donald Trump off, but anybody off the ballot.
Yeah, that's a good point. This was a test case for what could have been a pattern in practice if it weren't stopped. So we got about a minute left. I want to ask about something you put up on the social platform X, because I think it's such a jarring number. The cost per illegal alien coming across the border to the American taxpayer per year, $8,776 for every illegal immigrant. That is an impossible burden for the United States to sustain, correct?
Well, to sustain, and it's, again, borrowing from money we don't have, that doesn't count. The jail time, those who have done killings that we saw on the Georgia campus and others that are unreported, it doesn't count the jail time and the cost to the American taxpayers of those who are going to end up in prison. But, you know, this federal government is our own government is paying these people, and it's money that we don't have. And it shows you how off track this government is with these aliens in the invasion that we're seeing.
Yeah.
Well, and sir, before we go, we've just got about 45 seconds left. I often hear the retort from liberals, well, illegal immigrants pay taxes. This is after taxes. They cost the American people, I believe, about $23,000 per person. They pay $10,000 or $11,000 in taxes on average per person. This is $9,000 in the hole per illegal immigrant, right?
$9,000 in the hole per illegal, and it doesn't count the ones that are coming across now. We don't know who's over here, Amanda. It doesn't count the damage they're going to be doing on the gangs and the cartels that are already here. So this is just another thing that this administration is directly responsible for, and they're doing it intentionally, and it's just the tip of the iceberg.
All right, folks, one more good one to go. Bobby Charles. Yep, it's AMAC Wednesday. We're going to go do a great conversation with him. We're going to wrap up the Supreme Court. We're going to wrap up the primaries last night. We're going to preview the State of the Union on AMAC Wednesday with Bobby Charles. And by the way, if you want to join AMAC, go to amac.us/justnews. Very special discounts. Match me on my 5-year membership. AMAC is a great community of patriots. I'm so proud to be a member and to use my card and get discounts. I'm traveling the next couple of days. I got discounts on hotels, car rentals. It's incredible. It pays for itself time and time again. So thank Bobby and the great team there, Rebecca Weber, all the great folks at AMAC, by going to amac.us/justnews and signing up today. All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day.
So what makes a life a good one?
In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. You know what follows Super Tuesday? AMAC Wednesday. Yes, it is time once again to bring in our incredible good friend, Bobby Charles, a national spokesman for the Association of Mature American Citizens. Oh, Bobby, so much to digest from the last 24 hours or even just in the last few minutes. Mitch McConnell endorsing Donald Trump, the parties coming together, putting all of their bygones of the past aside. There seems to be momentum, unity, and enthusiasm on the right, and maybe not so much on the Joe Biden left right now.
Well, I think that's right, John. What happens, and we've seen this, I mean, the first campaigns I remember being consciously plugged into were really 1980. And what happens is, and Reagan, sort of all of a sudden, there was a moment after which everybody knew he was the nominee. And I think that moment has just occurred. The nominee is going to be Donald Trump. And so what happens then is a party that has some degree of principle, is interested in the country above party and above personality, tends to put their differences aside and come together. You're absolutely right, though, about the enthusiasm difference. I mean, you can see it. I've been in half a dozen states in the last half a dozen days, and I will tell you that what I see, and I don't work on a campaign, but, you know, the AMAC generation is very active out there, and we're out there seeing things. And I will tell you that what I see is that Americans who care about the country are really saying, I may not like everything about Donald Trump's style, but that guy had us on the right path, and we're definitely on the wrong path now. And you talk about an enthusiasm gap on the left. I would say it's more like an enthusiasm sinkhole. I think the bottom is falling out of everything there.
Yeah, you definitely see it. You know, there were several states where none of the above are uncommitted, finished in double digits last night. This is basically an uncontested Democrat incumbent, and he's losing 10% to none of the above, 13% in Michigan. I think it might have been 15% in North Carolina last night. It's a real problem.
You know, it's an interesting, I love history, and as we've maybe talked about before, I've gone back and looked at a lot of the conventions since the beginning of the country, and although there were contested conventions that turned out quite surprisingly, including 1860 with Abraham Lincoln, who rolled in with just 22% of the support. But then there were two Republicans, brand new Republican Party at that point, who hated each other. And it became a dueling match. And eventually that by chance they picked him. But there's never been a convention where the Democrat rolled in with all the delegates or virtually all the delegates and didn't just walk away with the nomination. And yet the curious part, it's almost as if the Democrats have gotten to a point where the waterfall is going to pull them over. They cannot any longer get out of the current that Joe Biden is their nominee and, you know, the feckless Harris is the vice presidential candidate. It's almost inevitable now, because the only other time in history when things edged this direction was 1968, in which Lyndon Johnson was the Democrat incumbent running for president. Vietnam War was raging. His two competitors were Robert Kennedy, who was later killed, of course, after the California primary, and Eugene McCarthy, who was kind of an AOC knockoff. I mean, she's a knockoff of him, a real lefty who really was out there. So he wasn't going to win. When Kennedy was killed, actually before Kennedy was killed at the end of March, Lyndon Johnson withdrew his nomination. But the reason it was very different from Biden, he had won the New Hampshire primary, but he was about to lose the Wisconsin primary. So he had a whole raft of primaries ahead of him to lose. And so Biden is going to show up. Biden is going to show, of course, they picked Hubert Humphrey and Ed Muskie, who lost to Nixon Agnew. But right now, you know, they're going to show up with a candidate that they're all going to pretend they believe in, but 86% of the country knows is not up to the job. And that's where we're at.
Yeah, and Thursday will be high stakes tomorrow. State of the Union, one of the latest State of the Unions I can remember ever being delivered. I guess Joe Biden didn't have time to get it before then. But the people will be looking to see if the brain freezes are there, if the tongue slips are there, if the forgetfulness is there.
because at this point, it's starting to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. You just keep seeing it. The stakes are high, not just for what he delivers in terms of policy solutions, but actually how he delivers it could be a very important message to the American people tomorrow night. What will you be watching for in the State of the Union?
Well, I'll tell you, John, on the one hand, you're right. People will be looking for the how, not just the what. But the Biden administration has managed to lower expectations so much that I think if he can just get through it, they'll call it a success. I will tell you that the State of the Union, and we all know it, is tenuous. The state of the world is treacherous, and we are in an environment where a president who isn't fully on top of his game is going to get taken advantage of by foreign and domestic adversaries. And so people are very painfully aware of that. I'm sure what they'll do is they'll punch Biden full of coffee or maybe give him something that makes him alert, and he'll get through it. But this is going to be a painful State of the Union. It is the latest, I think, or almost the latest ever given. And why? Because there's such a state of disarray that he has sort of helped to commission. And you know, we talk about this, John, all the time. But there is not a single issue on which Joe Biden, I think, can safely say, well, I've done this right. There's nothing. There's not a single thing. We've got crime. We've got the economy. We've got foreign policy. All he can do, he's got corruption, you know, right, left, and center inside his family, inside his White House, inside his administration. He's got a Secretary of Defense that lies up the chain of command and down the chain of command about his health and his absence and his presence, and nothing happens to him. He's got a Secretary of State who invites complete chaos and just a horror to 100,000 of our allies in Afghanistan, and who can't even begin to get the world to talk to each other, never mind, you know, solve problems. So I think we look at all this in totality, and the State of the Union is like a magnifying glass that, you know, burns the paper if you focus it just right, and it's going to burn the paper. People are going to listen and go, yeah, well, no, that's not true. No, that's not true. And he mispronounced that word, and no, I don't really like this guy. That's what's going to happen here.
It's pretty remarkable. And the dynamics for things getting better for Joe Biden are really slim, because you've got the economy. I think inflation just keeps being stubborn. They're not going to be able to bring down interest rates like they thought to make people happy before the election. Then you've got the situation just a few moments ago. Kathy Hochul, the Democratic governor of New York, said that things are so bad in New York City, it's so unsafe to go on the New York subway, that she has to deploy the National Guard to one of America's most famous cities. The idea that we get crime under control debunked by his largest state governor on the East Coast. And that comes in, and then you get the Laken Riley, which is still resonating. People just torn apart with seeing that what an avoidable death that was. All of the dynamics, there's not a whole lot where Joe Biden's going to be able to wave a magic wand and things are going to start feeling better in the next few months, right?
Yeah. So what that means is this State of the Union, John, again, it's just a speech, but this State of the Union will be very general. It will not address the hard questions, because he has failed on all the hard questions. I mean, just to talk about the sadness of this nursing student being killed, and then, as you indicate, New York City becoming so unsafe that you can't really even walk the subways. It's worse than it was under Dinkins, and it's driven by the federal government, not by the state or by the city government. So not at least in as much as by the federal government. You know, 64% of all of the federal arrests last year were of non-citizens. We have in excess of 8,000 non-citizens being arrested, and many of them not deported just last year. So, you know, that's by the federal level, and most arrests occur, by the way, at the state level. So, you know, what's happened here is Biden has allowed a weed garden to grow. And it is time to get some Republicans who are the responsible party. They tend to walk back in, fix everything that's been broken, and then get thrown out of office because they seem to think the world is going to stop. But the reality is we're in a state right now where the country is at peril. And I don't care whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, the country is in peril, John. And I think this is what the State of the Union can't cover up. There's no, you know, to borrow the old phrase, there's no lipstick on this pig that's going to make it look better.
Yeah. And meanwhile, there's another dynamic. There's a growing civil war inside the left where Joe Biden's catered to the left a lot, but he can't cater enough, at least when it comes to the Israel-Hamas war. And last night, whether you were in Minnesota, where 45,000 people voted uncommitted, or in Michigan, 100,000 people voted uncommitted, there's no sign that Benjamin Netanyahu is going to bend to Joe Biden's will. He's going to do what's right for his country, Israel, which is eradicate Hamas and restore security to the Gaza Strip. This is going to play out. It's going to keep dividing the left, where Joe Biden found a lot of his energy in the first couple of years of his presidency. It's a tough dynamic there, right? Because he can't undercut Israel after what happened to Israel, that horrific episode on October 7th. And the more he sticks with Israel, the more his own party abandons him. That's going to play out all through summer, don't you think?
I do. I often look for the faint within the faint within the faint. So what's going, you know, to borrow from the old Dune, I think Frank Herbert's analogy there, description, but what you have to look at is what's really going on with Biden and Israel, and a failure on multiple counts by this administration there, is the permissive rise of Iran. And the permissive rise of Iran, which is literally, if they turn the button, if they turn the dial, maybe weeks away from a nuclear weapon. And I wonder whether they'll try to do that between now and the end of the administration. The only thing that will stop them is a Donald Trump campaign that says, don't you dare do it. Because that's what Ronald Reagan did in the 80s. You know, he, as we've talked about before, he sank half of the Iranian Navy because he, when they started to sink tankers and lob missiles at American warships. Well, that's happening right now. And so one of the things that's happening behind this curtain is that Iran is really seeing how much they can push in the Red Sea, putting destroyers in there, trying to, you know, dropping, you know, ordnance into Jordan. They're doing it through Hezbollah arms. They're doing everything they can to destabilize. At the same time, China behind the curtain, again, this is the faint within the faint within the faint. China and Russia love to see this happening because Russia wants a greater footprint and always has wanted a greater footprint in the Middle East. And China has decided that this is their moment. And by the way, China's economy is on the way down. And so you look for, you know, unfortunately, leaders historically look for international distractions when the domestic side gets rough. So I think you're looking for a period of great instability ahead. Does that mean that some bad thing, terrible thing will happen beyond where we are now? No. It just means that the laser light focus of all of these leaders will be on the choice here in the United States of America between a strong leader who some people don't like and a weak leader that more people don't like.
You have it exactly right. That is the dynamic that's going to play out before Americans' eyes in the next few months. There are these new reports that came out of a Center for Immigration Studies, FOIA, that last year, to avoid some of the numbers being counted at the border as illegal aliens, using the CBB1 app, the Biden administration flew 320,000, I think is the number, somewhere in that ballpark, illegal aliens into the country, into normal airports, bypassing the normal screening procedures that the CBP would do when someone illegally crossed the border. We basically have an Air America operation, except it's actually Air Anti-America because it's actually bringing in people who don't belong here. The idea that Biden has gone to that depth to traffic people across the border, how do you think that plays in everyday America?
Well, let me make three observations. First, lies, deception, and deceit are the modus operandi of this administration. And if you don't get it now, that only puts the exclamation point on it. Two, this closely, it clearly shows that what they're trying to do is change the voting dynamic in this country. Either have these people illegally vote in a variety of states, unchecked at the border, unnumbered, but more importantly, vote in these states or grab a driver's license in any state that allows it for illegal aliens, and a lot of the blue states do, and then use that as your ID at the polling places. And don't think for a minute that these illegal aliens are just going to be wandering around looking for a polling booth. They have Democrat-affiliated organizations, just like in 1996, that are undoubtedly going after them, getting them organized, will get them ballots on the state, in the states that allow the harvesting and the ahead of time, they'll do that. It, you know, John, so the second big observation is this is an electoral, this is chicanery of the first order. This is illicit activity, really, being justified on the basis of some humanitarian basis. And the third thing is, this makes a complete mockery of both domestic and international law on asylum. This is not how it ever is supposed to work. Asylum is an individuated, well-founded fear of persecution where you can say that you as an individual in that country were targeted by that government. has nothing to do with wanting, you know, the streets of gold in America or shipping people around America because they've knocked on the front door, or forget knocking on the door. They burst through the door and they want all the benefits of America. You know, it riles me to the point where I think many times, I think, John, in a week, I think of my relatives who are lying at Arlington and around the country in military cemeteries, as well as those who were with them in those eras when depression and a lot of people fought hard to get this country where we are today, and they didn't do it so that half the world can illegally burst through the doors or be invited through the doors by the likes of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. That is absolutely not what this country is about. And so I hope, and I think, and maybe these non-committed votes are really the truth of it, I think a lot of Americans, whether they like a particular candidate on the other side or not, or don't, they know things are not right. Something's wrong in Denmark. Something's wrong in America. And they want to get it fixed because they have not given up hope. They want this country back where it belongs. And stability, security, freedom, strong defense, smaller government, lower taxes, good moral compass, and a little sense of knowing who we are.
Yeah, yeah, that American identity, which so many people have tried to destroy on the left, poison our children's minds against this great country. It's boomeranging now. People want to go back to the way things used to be. We got about a minute left. Bobby, you talked about the benefits of being in America, and there are many, of course. There's also a lot of benefits in being in the great AMAC community. I'm a proud 5-year member. Can you just remind people, if they join today, if they go to amac.us/justnews, just a few of the things that they get in this great, great community of patriots?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to start with the most fundamental, and that is every day I wake up knowing America has a shot at restoring itself because I'm a member of AMAC. They are active all over this country. They are a family of more than 2 million members. They are tens of thousands in every state. They are active trying at the legislative level, at the local level, helping school boards, helping legislatures get it right, turning back ranked choice voting, turning back late-term abortion, making sure electoral integrity, which is a number one thing, gets out there in every one of these states, and then working at the federal level. They are literally tromping around Capitol Hill all the time saying, do not forget the Americans that, you know, that really care about this country. So that's the big thing, is you go to sleep at night recognizing for what, $16 a year, for $35 for five, you literally,
it's a bargain.
You literally feel better about America. But then you get the magazine, you get the website, you get the discounts that pay for themselves within 1 or 2 weeks or months. I mean, it's crazy how much you get for just, you know, and AMAC is really honestly doing what I would like to believe for those over the age of 50, what other organizations don't. They are giving you integrity as well as economic benefits in every venue, from hotels and travel to dentistry. I mean, that's what it's all about. So I would say go to amac.us and /rav or however we're doing it today, John, and honest to God, join, because if you join, you will never regret it. And the next thing you're going to be doing is recommending others to join.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I'm going on a trip in a couple of days, and the discounts just at hotel, travel, car rentals pay my entire membership for the next 20 years. It's just so amazing to see pulling out the card and to say, hey, do you honor this? And people go, oh, of course we do. That's great. It's so amazing to see it. I mean, it's an economic boon. But the idea to join a community of patriots and do the things, whether it's election observation and making sure that we're making it easy to vote, hard to cheat, or contacting your state legislators, your members of Congress, sponsoring these great boomer boot camps where people can learn how to get more involved. It is an extraordinary, extraordinary community. And I just want to thank you personally for joining us every week, because I think we always walk away so much smarter. And also for you and Rebecca and the entire team at AMAC for making our country a better place to be. We are so grateful. And good time today. A lot of good conversation. Really appreciate it, Bobby.
Well, it's always my pleasure, John. Again, I encourage people to go to amac.us, sign up, be a member. You will never regret it. And the other thing you'll get with you, John, and with me and with others, you get news before the news is news, and they are out there, you know, every single day. They got the news long before anybody else, and it's valuable.
It absolutely is, and it is an amazing thing. We are so grateful. Bobby, we'll be checking in next week. A lot of news is going to happen between now and then, but until then, have a great week, and thank you for spending so much quality time with us.
Absolutely. My privilege. Take care.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. Hey, a quick shout out to my friends at Home Title Lock. You heard those stories that those incredible FBI agents told you about these new cyber criminals stealing your home by taking the title and by taking a loan out. And before you know it, you're in debt and you lost your home. If you want to put a perimeter, a digital virtual perimeter around your house so no criminal can get it, just go check out the incredible offer at HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JustNews. You're going to get a special discount. You're going to get a free comprehensive review of your home. Make sure that no funny business is already starting on your title in 30 days of their legendary protection, the Home Title Lock protection. Just go to HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JustNews. All right, folks, that wraps it up. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, God bless you. Have a great evening, and thank you for listening. Thank you for reading. Thank you for being a part of the Just the News family. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.